2, 1.
All right, let's do this. Get set.
Headed for the open door.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
And welcome to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski with Kelly Steele from the Windsor Star joining us this week. You know, I'm so excited. There's so many great things going on this week in running. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. I'm just over the top. First off, our guest today is one of the greatest runners of our generation. Mef Kovalevsky is joining us on the air today for a feature interview where we talk about being a kid as an immigrant child coming to the United States, and then what it's like to be 39 and still winning the United States half marathon championships.
That's absolutely amazing.
So I can't wait. That's going to be a quarter after. We'll have Meb in, and then of course at another 45 minutes, we'll have Michael Doe from the Canadian Running Magazine in, and we're going to be talking about the latest in running news. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about we were at Around the Bay this last weekend. What a phenomenal race. I mean, 120 years young.
Well done in Boston.
Oh, it's just a wonderful time. You see runners from all over our region and obviously the Toronto region and from all of the United States. And just a great event, such a solid event. Had a long conversation with John Stanton because Running Room is a really big sponsor of, and he's also a host. He's also a race host and, you know, loves reading the names off and talking to people. So it was a really, really good weekend. I got us a chance to talk to a lot of the Toronto runners about our runs. And then I found out something absolutely just blew me away, that Get Out There magazine, which is a magazine based out of Toronto, they do runs, but they also talk about everything else about outdoors. Named our medal for Zombie Chase the medal to get in Canada this year.
It is a killer medal.
There was five races that they put down, and they named us number one over Scotiabank.
Very impressive.
Waterfront, which was I was just blown away by that. But thank you very much for recognizing all the effort that we put in there, Get Out There magazine, because we do put a tremendous amount of effort in design and detail in those medals to really get them to where they are.
Well, you know, that's what runners are looking for now. Everyone likes the cool medals. No one wants the stuffy. Everyone's looking for something different. And that zombie medal, it has it all, the way it flips up and you can see the brains inside.
And this year we're taking Zombie to London. And in that we're also changing the medal to a female version of Mr. Googly Eyes, who we had on last year's medal.
You're gonna have to make that medal a whole lot bigger though for the woman's brains, right?
Of course. So, you know, but talking about runs, we have Lashokolot coming up in a matter of a month. Hard to believe, May 4th. And there's less than 500 spots left. So if you're interested in doing the half marathon, you need to register now for that.
Now, I'm getting people still in the community saying to me that that's a woman's race.
No.
It's open to guys as well.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, no. You know, I mean, last year we had a number of men run, even for the coach purse, because they gave it to their girlfriends or gave it to their moms. I mean, you know, they worked it, you know. But, you know, if I was a single guy, which I'm not, if I was a single guy, I would love to be at Lashokolot because there just happens to be a lot of women running Lashokolot. But no, men are definitely welcome on the course, and it's going to be a great race. And that's, of course, lots of chocolate, lots of firemen. We have the 3-liter box bag of red wine or white wine, the Peely Purse wine, that goes to everyone who registers in the 5 to 10 or the half marathon. Peely Island is sold out.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's gone. It's sold out. Lots of people are asking us about, hey, you know, how do I register? You know, I can't. I say, you're right. You can't, because it's sold out. But we do have a kind of like a bib waiting list that we do manage for that event, because a lot of people, because they have to register so far in advance, plus they're from everywhere around North America, they say, oh, I can't travel because my nephew is graduating or whatever. I can't make it, so that bib becomes available. So we have been kind of facilitating that.
How do you get on that list?
You know, just email carla@runningflat.com, or just go to runningflat.com and hit one of the contacts, and it'll get to us for sure.
Because I know what's going to start to happen. Oh. People are going to say, oh my gosh, I wanted to do the Peely Island run. How how do I get in?
It's already there. It's already there. It was crazy up in Hamilton talking about Peely because everyone wants to register for it, but you'd have to register for 2015.
Well, look how different that race is. There's no other race where you're strictly on an island like that.
There is no other race when you're stuck on an island like that. Trust me. And as a race director, I say that with a big smile on my face because it has extreme challenges in operations trying to develop a run like that and actually execute it because you actually have to bring your own water on the island. Like, mm-hmm. everything has to come with you on the island.
Well, I remember riding over with all the portageons. You guys had, I don't know how many of those you brought over on the ferries.
We bring 24 portageons. Yeah, 24 portageons come in. We ship everything in. If we could fly them in, we'd fly them in, trust me. And then we opened up Rock Me Anaphylaxis and announced that Kiss Destroyer is going to be playing the finish line. So registration has been like crazy on that. It's just everybody wants to see Kiss rock out.
And you said that's
out.
The Cork and Fork weekend, too,
it
right?
It is. So just before Cork and Fork. Fork and Cork Open, excuse me, what you'll be able to do is enjoy this awesome rock show. Mm-hmm. And we'll have two more rock acts on the course as well around the halfway and on the turnaround. There'll be two more, probably like a Neil Young type tribute and then a three-piece probably midway.
Very nice. You said that's a 5K?
It is a 5K at Riverfront Plaza, and it ends at the big stage at Riverfront Plaza with Kiss. Okay. So... how can that not be fun?
I think it sounds like a riot.
Oh, I know. We got the Color Run, of course, July 19th. Registration's open, going brisk for that. And then there's Run for Heroes Marathon, where the half is really moving fast. So if you're interested in the half or the 10K, those are the ones that sell out every year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's time to register for that. And all of those races and more are at runningflat.com. And also some of our other races. We did kind of do a soft announcement about the Hard Rock Hotel Vallarta mm-hmm. Half Marathon when we were at Around the Bay. So I'm okay to at least leak that out, and we'll make a more formal announcement in the next couple of weeks. But that's February 1st, 2015, and that's a half
Start
marathon.
Start planning then, right?
That's going to be an awesome marathon. So, but you know what? It's time every week that we talk about the song of the week. So we have a new song of the week. And it is by the Congos, and it's Come With Me Now. This is another song that kind of just gets you right off the driveway and out the door.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
And that is the song of the week, and it is the Congos doing Come With Me Now. And
that's a great song. I haven't heard that before.
It's just a rockin' song when you get out there. Now, you know, with Meb, I'm sure on his playlist, he can double-step that song, right, the way he travels.
You know we can.
but me, I would just kind of labor along at that pace. But yeah, so a couple other things just before we get to Meb. Next week we have Kevin Callahan, the founder of Map My Run. Mm-hmm. Kevin's a young guy, just sold his company to Under Armour for like $1 billion. And Krista Duchesne, who actually won last weekend's Around the Bay, she's going to be on the show next week. So we're going to have her on. And then on the 22nd, in a couple shows, we have Dr. Tarhuni from the Canadian Cardiac Center and Institute. He's the guy who we work with every year at Run for Heroes regarding the cardio phone, so we can have the live EKG feeds mm-hmm. back to the cardiologist at the race line. And so we're going to talk about heart health. I think it's really important that we kind of sit down and we kind of talk about the issues that we see in marathon running and endurance running, getting your heart checked out and going through all those issues. I think it's time that we do that.
Oh, I think it's a great topic, especially since how many times do you hear these runners who are dropping dead right near the finish line, right?
It happens in the sport, and it's all because of undiagnosed heart conditions. But I think we're going to deep dive that. We're going to spend an entire hour talking about heart health. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we're going to have Meb
Us
on Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman, Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-270-7875. 1-800-270-7875. That's 1-800-270-7875. 1-800-270-7875.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. Tonight a few clouds, gusty wind, a low of 0. Tomorrow a mix of sun and cloud, a high of 11. Wednesday night a 40% chance of showers overnight, windy and a low of 0. Thursday and Friday, periods of rain both days, a high of 4 on Thursday, 13 on Friday. Saturday cloudy, a 40% chance of showers, windy, a high of 5. Sunday a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 11. Once again a few clouds tonight, gusty wind and a low of 0. Mix of sun and cloud tomorrow and a high of 11.
It's the news, it's the reactions, and more.
Okay, here's how I look at it.
AM 800 CKLW.
The information station.
Looking to start running? Strap on a pair of comfortable shoes. Now put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's that easy. This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Our next guest, I just want to read off this. This is incredible to me. Four-time NCAA champion, 22 national championships as a professional runner, six-time USA 15K champ, three-time USA 12K champ, three-time USA 10,000-meter champ, also 2000, 2004 Olympic trials, 10,000-meter. Like Matt, we can just keep going all day long. We also have the 2009 USA Half Marathon Championship at 61 minutes and 25 seconds. And let's not forget about the 2004 Olympic silver gold medalist for marathon. And also in 2014, at the age of 39 years old, the USA Half Marathon Championship at 1 hour and 1 minute and 23 seconds. You know, welcome to Running Flat Radio, Meb.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me, and delighted to be here with you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure having you. I want to start off our conversation this evening. I want to start off with you coming from Eritrea in the midst of the war with Ethiopia in the early 80s and emigrating from Italy and then into San Diego. I mean, you couldn't speak English, and your father was such an inspiration in your life, and he had this wonderful plan for his children. Can you communicate to us? Can you tell us what that plan was to get you guys to learn English and really kind of instill those values that really got you into running?
You know, it's a person thinks it, and then ultimately God finishes the plan. But for me, for us, you know, my dad was wanted by the Ethiopian soldiers, and then he was going to get prison or killed, and my mom and him have to make a decision. And my mom was kind of dealt with it, say, hey, you know what, you're not going to be any good for us if you're in prison. I mean, you might want to take a risk to take this journey to Sudan to escape. But the journey itself was 225 miles, but the biggest journey that he was leaving behind was his wife and five kids and one on the way, which is very, very difficult to do. And, you know, he said he has to take that journey, but at the same token, how is he going to survive? He had no idea. He's just going to have to mend in through, you know, when I said 225 miles in the wilderness, you have hyenas, lions, scorpions, snakes, and robbers and soldiers and whatnot. So even though those were challenges for him, he tells us that his biggest challenge is, you know, his family leaving behind. But fortunately, he was gunpoint at one point during that journey, but the person never fired the trigger, and he made it to Sudan. And once he made it to Sudan, he was just workaholic, and he wanted to save his wife and kids, and they had one thing, commitment to each other. The sixth child they were expecting wasn't determined was going to be a boy or girl, but no matter what, it needs to be named Demnet or Amina, which means we trust that one day I'll make it a safe land and save you guys. And that happened, and it happened to be a boy. He lives by that name, you know, so we know his journey at that time, that my dad made the commitment to look back for us, to save us, and he did. And he got two, three different jobs in Sudan, and then eventually he made it to Sudan through his previous girlfriend and connected with her. And once made it Italy, he got two, three different jobs again, and, you know, just laborer's job, cleaning offices, and he got to get to know his boss really well, who was a PhD in economics, and Dr. Brindisi. And one day he just told him, hey, I need a favor. He's like, what is it? He's like, I need to save my family, and can I borrow money? And Dr. Brindisi asked him, how much does he need? And he, my dad told him that he needed 10,000 lire, which is in Italian, which is about 6,000 US dollar at the time, 1985. And he says, Dr. Brindisi asked, is that to save one life or how many? And he says, no, it's six kids and a wife. And with what he has saved, if, you know, Dr. Brindisi gave him 10,000 US dollar, 10,000 lire, which is 6,000 US dollars. And if it wasn't for him giving him that money, I wouldn't even have the opportunity that I have had now and living the American dream that I came to the United States. But before that, company and I stayed, that journey took in Italy, and you know, was Dr. Brindisi told him that, you know, the 6,000 US dollar that he gave him, it wasn't a loan, it was a gift, because if he said, if you can save that many people's life, then, you know, just make sure you use it that. And so the $6,000 or 10,000 later is what got us free, and it was, it couldn't have been possible without Dr. Brindisi.
Yeah, and so when you guys actually got to San Diego, and none of the kids could speak English, your dad actually set you up on a program early on to help you guys out.
Correct. My dad, one came in October 21st, 1987, is when we landed to San Diego, California, and none of us spoke English. Really, I just had to... the backpack and our clothes on our back and nothing else really. And we all thought we were going to be all in the same grade, but in the U.S., the school system is set up differently as it was in Eritrea. In here, you have to go according to your age. And for me, I was supposed to have been seventh grade, but because of not speaking English, they held me back to middle school at least to have an advantage. But my two older brothers had even more disadvantage because even though they had a seventh grade education, both of them, they, the oldest one got to ninth grade, and then AK, who was in the middle, got to seventh grade. And, you know, my oldest brother just worked hard, really, really hard, and he got student of the year. But, yeah, my dad used to wake us up at 4:30 a.m. before 7:30 class to be able to study, go through that dictionary and be able to study words. And he used to say, you know the words, education is the key to life, and they didn't have it, my parents, that is, and then our uncles didn't have it, and then our cousins certainly didn't have it. So they gave us that speech, you know, this has a unique opportunity, and don't waste it. And we took it to heart, and, yeah, we woke up at 4:30 and trying to learn English. And hard work does pay off, as my brother received a little, you know, trophy that we all display in our family room. Proudly, just because that gave us hope that hard work does pay off. And for me, you know, even though I won Olympic silver medal in New York, the other trophies displayed more prominently than my winning medals, but because of what stands for.
Yeah, and that's really what I was trying to get at, was that it was your parents, in the way they formed your upbringing as a kid, that really gave you that ethic that you have today. And I guess when you also came here, the first time you saw running was in Balboa Park, down in San Diego, and because you were playing soccer, right? I mean, that was a sport that you were used to.
Even though we were born in Eritrea, there was, you know, the only thing we did was play barefoot soccer, and it wasn't even a soccer; it was more of a, you know, long arm sleeves or long socks and stuff with the plastic, and so could bounce. And when we came to Italy, we played soccer, and in fact, my nickname was Pele, one of the greatest soccer player. And when we came to the United States and say, you want to play football, which in Italy is known as football, we're like, yeah. And they brought in American football. We had never seen that before. So it's like, what is this? And, you know, we were not too far away from Balboa Park, probably half a mile away, and we used to dribble the soccer ball on the sidewalk and go to the park. And all of a sudden it was early in December, and we were playing soccer, and there was a race going on. We were like, what is that going on? We didn't know it was a sport. So people were running around, and what are they chasing, you know? And there's no soccer ball, anything like that. So that's how I was introduced. And then, you know, a year later, when I became seventh grader, for physical education class, my PE teacher at the time, Dick Lord, said to the whole class, if you guys run hard, you're going to get A or B. If I see you mess around or goof around, you're going to get DRF. And I don't want to point my parents. I want to get that A. And if you run a 6:15, 6:15 as a seventh grader, you get a Roosevelt Junior High Mile Club T-shirt. You get A in the class, and you also get your pictures in the gym. And bear in mind, I didn't speak the language, so I didn't have many friends.
Yeah.
So I just ran as hard as I can, and I ran a 5 minutes and 20 seconds. So
nice.
Coach DeClerc was very surprised, and like he called the high school coach and says, "Wow, we have this guy. He's going to be an Olympian. He's the little one is better than the older ones because my older brothers were have run before and seen it." And he called my future that I was going to be an Olympian in 1988. And honestly, I had no idea what the Olympics were. and it was, but you know, you were hard work, and just because somebody tell you're going to be an Olympian doesn't mean you're going to be automatic. You just got to work hard and be don't give up, be persistent and perseverance what you do. And to till I graduated from UCLA, which I was on full scholarship after all my hard work in high school, and I was on full scholarship, but I never gave running a priority. It was always academic first and athletic second.
Right. And you did graduate, and you also in communication studies, and also was it a minor in business?
Yes, Chris. I graduated from UCLA with a communication major and business emphasis. And, you know,
awesome.
That was the biggest thing for me. I didn't want to be seen as another athlete. As you hear sometimes, they never graduated because of athleticism and things like that. And for me, education is important. I want to be able to do that. And once I graduated in 1999 with a major in specialization, I gave running full priority. Before that, I used to stay up to 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. to do my work, and I always had 8 o'clock classes and very disciplined. And then once I graduated, I gave running 110%, and I was very fortunate enough to represent the United States as my first Olympic in 2000 in the 10K, where I barely made the prelims and qualified and finished 12th overall, which I felt happy and proud, but I made another goal for me and for the United States to bring a medal in 2004 at the 2000 Olympic Stadium. Before, I'm happy to be an Olympian, but I want to make it extra special, and I was very proud to go to Athens. I'll be honest, I didn't think when I made that goal I was going to be in the marathon. I thought I was going to be in the 10K to bring the medal, but I can't, you know, to be in Athens, it was a big, I was fortunate enough to make the Olympics in 2004 in the 10K and marathon. But because where the marathon started or the history behind the Olympics and right. whatnot, I decided to go to Athens in the marathon versus a 10K, and I was very happy to bring home the silver medal.
That's fabulous. Meb, we're going to take a break. Can you just hang on through the break for us?
Sure.
Awesome. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
Lisa Williams.
Every morning.
My favorite morning show.
The Morning Drive.
On the next show, we hope you enjoyed our April Fool's joke. We certainly had fun. Next time at 6:20, we're going to take a look at some of the best April Fool's jokes ever.
And at 7:20, play the Mr. Instant Teller contest. We are nearing the end of the contest with only a few days left, but he still has plenty of money to give away. Get the daily pin at WFCU.ca.
The Morning Drive, weekday mornings 5 till 9 on AM 800.
How Bell makes watching TV better.
Brad from Red Deer asks,
I heard Bell has the best satellite TV service in Canada. Can you tell me more?
Sure, Brad. Every Bell satellite TV package includes major networks, specialty programming like TSN, and a ton of HD channels. And even better, Bell's HD picture quality is up to 1080p, the best available. Don't settle for less than the best.
Get the best satellite TV service in Canada. Visit a Bell store or the source for details. Bell, watching TV just got better.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor, Essex, an information update with Paul Pedro.
Another online scam is trying to dupe people in Windsor. Authorities say emails are being sent out that appear to be from Canada Revenue Agency, and they ask for personal information. Windsor police officials say Canada Revenue Agency would never ask for personal information through email. A new report is calling for the provincial government to change the way group purchasing organizations operate when it comes to buying chemo drugs. The report is a result of over 1,200 patients, including some in Windsor, Essex, who were given diluted chemotherapy treatments. And drivers drivers are being reminded that the spring motorcycle season is here and to watch out for motorcycle riders. On Sunday, a motorcycle was struck by a pickup truck at County Road 50 and Dunn Road in the town of Essex. AM 800 Sports, the Leafs are home to Calgary tonight. Right now, scoreless in the first. The Habs are visiting Tampa Bay. That game is just underway. The Leamington Flyers are in Chatham tonight to continue their Junior B hockey playoffs, and Chatham is up 1-0 in the first period there. The Windsor Express Hoop Squad looking to advance to the NBL of Canada final tonight with a win against London. From the AM 800 Weather Center, tonight a few clouds, gusty wind, a low of 0. Tomorrow a mix of sun and cloud, a high of 11. Wednesday night a 40% chance of showers overnight, windy and a low of 0. Right now in Windsor, Essex, 11 Celsius, that is 52 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul Pedro, AM 800 News.
When you're able to focus your mind and your body, anything is possible.
From 5K runs to half marathons
to the full 26.2 miles.
We talk about it all on Running Flat Radio, Tuesdays, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski and Kelly Steele. We're in right in the middle of an interview with Meb Kovalevsky, who's joining us from the United States. Meb, thank you very much for joining us today. And what I want to do is I just want to talk a little bit about I read your book, Run to Overcome, which I think is a must read for all runners. And it's a fabulous book, and you can get it online through Amazon or through Chapters here in Canada. But there was a part of the book that I first off, it made me laugh, it made me cry. I'll be honest with you, it sounds kind of cliche. Chapter 2, I did weep because my father reminds me a lot of your father. And but realistically, what I think I really want to talk about was the 2007 Olympic trials in New York, where you were running with a terrible injury that could have ended your career, and then you find out only after the race that your training partner and dear friend Ryan Shea had passed away. He was with a bunch of runners behind you and suffered a heart attack and died. And reflecting back on that time, how does that moment kind of shape you as a person in your athletic career?
Well, Chris, it was a devastating time for my life to have that experience. And because going to the trials on the bus to the starting line, I was Ryan Shea sitting next to me. And I thought his wife might sit down and say, hey, is that seat taken? He's like, no, let's have a seat. And we talked about life and, you know, how lucky we are. And he told me how we own New York because the ambulance was escorting us and whatnot. And I tell him my first Brussels race, and he told me about his Mombasa cross-country worlds experience, and then we kind of went to our zone listening to music, getting ready for the trials to make the Olympic team. And you know, the race, I was favored to win, obviously, and I wasn't the fittest I ever been, and I was hoping to make the team, but unfortunately about 5K into the race, he fell and had a cardiac arrest, which we had no idea. And then Ryan Shea, and then Ryan Hall was with me at 10 miles, and we said, hey, let's just pick it up, make it down to three people because the ambulance got an hour away. And I'm like, well, let's see what, and Ryan Hall said, let's see what the next mile split is, and we ran 4:47. And it was like, okay, that's good enough, we don't need to pick it up. And then about a mile and a half later, my calf started tying up, and I started overcompensating and kept going, so maybe this is, I'm favored to win the Olympic trials, and I'm not going to win it now, I know that. And then maybe I could use Ryan Hall to get second place, pull me away from the others. Maybe I could get third. And then Dathan passed me. Then Brian Sell passed me. And then I'm like, maybe I could be an alternate. And then Dan Brown passed me. I was going to be in fifth place. And then maybe I could be second alternate or something. You play that in your head. And then I finished a devastating eighth place, not going to the Olympic team. But to make matters worse was when I finished the line. And he says, one of my close friends that was there watching the race, he goes, do you know what happened to Ryan? And I'm like, I'm thinking about Ryan Hall. Maybe he fell or something. He's like, no, what happened? He's like, did he fall? He's like, no, Ryan Shea. I'm like, no, what happened? He's like, he's dead. And I'm like, I just went to the ground and collapsed and hear that news. And in that moment, I didn't even realize he was next to me. Just like, wow. You know, it puts it in perspective. Not a big deal not to make the Olympic team. Here's the guy that I was sitting on the bus to the starting line. He's not longer with us. But, you know, he somehow, some way, he had figured out to move on forward. And I tried to reach out to Alicia Shea, his wife, and she was already checked out. And it gave me a perspective. Don't take life for granted. And things will happen. And enjoy while you can. And for me, yes, the injury did happen during the race, but it took me about 10 weeks to figure it out because you know, injury is injury. I mean, the course was challenging and tough, so I didn't put much to it. And plus, you know, you also realize that, you know, life and death, that somebody who just passed away, I shouldn't be concerned about injuries and things like that. But, you know, that's not the way I wanted to leave the Olympics. And I worked out very hard, about a year and a half of therapy. I saw about 50 doctors trying to see what was wrong with me. And I realized 10 weeks later that I have pelvic stress fracture, which I can even stand up. So, And about a year and a half of hard work. Somebody guarantee you're going to make the 2012 Olympics, or you're going to win New York City Marathon. If you do this and that, then it's easy. But there's nothing about the future that is set up for you to say, hey, but you have to do what is right. And I felt, you know, during what I was doing in training at the time before the trials, that it did not duplicate what I was able to do. And that kept me going. And that 520 mile that I ran in seventh grade sparked in me to say, hey, you have this God-given talent, and I want to feel like I need to maximize it. And that was not the way I wanted to leave the sport, or I felt there was more in the tank besides that race. And I kept going, and, you know, it was tough, challenging, but at the same time, I feel proud of myself for not giving up on my dreams and keep going forward, and to be able to have winning the New York City Marathon since then, and then going to the Olympics 2012 and finishing fourth there. You know, what would have happened in 2008 Olympics is a mystery, but Never give up on your dreams.
But it's an important part of the book is how you deal with disappointment in life. And there was another one that I got to tell you, I laughed out loud during this whole section. And it was in regards to you actually running London and actually having to withdraw because of an Achilles issue. And you hanging your head really low in disappointment that you had to do that, and then getting on the subway, and maybe you can pick up the rest of that story.
Well, in 2007, I did the London Marathon, and bear in mind, I had a little incident at the Jacksonville 15K before that where I built this humongous blister, and he took it out, and the skin on the bottom of my foot was not healed fully when I started the – well, it was healed, but it was still soft, not hardened. And I ran the race about 16 miles into it. I was still like 15th or 20th. And I'm like, my Achilles started hurting, overcompensating because of the foot soreness. And I stopped. And then the people are like, come on, you're in 15 or 16th place. We can stretch out and go. I'm like, no. And the reason behind that is because I value the trials. I value the Olympics to represent our country. I decided that November is the bigger picture. And I stopped, and then I'm like, and the race director, Dave Burford, hates dropouts or DNFs, and I'm like,
those
I'm
bloody race directors.
What he's going to tell me, how am I going to face him, and this and that. And then next thing I know is, you know, Haile, somebody goes to me, what happened to you? Just a regular runner, and he said, all I had, my name was Bib, it says Meb, and then I'm on the subway, and then he goes, I think I see Haile down there. It's like, no way, you can't be Haile. And then it was Haile. I was like, what's wrong, Haile? And then he goes, my chest. And the next thing I know is Boldini was on the other subway. Another subway, Stefano Boldini, who won the gold medals in 2004, where I got silver medal. And he's like, what happened? He's like, my hamstring. And then the next thing we know is when we got off the subway, I see Khalid Kanucci, the American record holder in the marathon, 205.38, and he said, what happened? He says, my Achilles. And then it's a great company to be, but not for that reason. And a lot of people thought we were done. So because the careers that we have accomplished, by the time we got to the hotel, they're congratulating us and whatnot. But, you know, you thought it would be disappointing. I thought I was the fastest guy in the subway, 209. And then you see Haile, the fastest guy, and then the gold medalist, and then the world record holder. So it was historical to see all those guys. A great company to be with, with names, but not for that reason.
So at the age of 39, you just won the USA Half Marathon Championships. You're going to Boston in a couple weeks, and I think you're also running New York again this year, correct?
I'm going to be 39 in May. I'm 38 right now, and then I am running Boston in less than 3 weeks now, and I feel very excited. I'll be a month away from my birthday, actually 39, and you know, I won the trials at 38, and it gives me great pride. I almost ran my second fastest time ever, but you know, I have run for over a quarter of a century now, 24, 25 years, and I try to do the best that I can to keep healthy and do the right things and do the small things that make a big difference, you know, whether stretching, whether it's doing an ice bath, whether it's taking care of yourself. In fact, I just finished before with this interview with from my massage after my long run from a good friend of mine, Gary Ackman, and it's, you have to take care of it. If you don't take care of it, the small things, you know, it's not about the running. A great basketball coach, John Wooden at UCLA, said, it's not what you do in practice the 2 hours, it's how you take care of yourself the next 22 hours. And I really believe that and try to do everything that I can to make myself healthy and eating, sleeping, nutrition, and also drills, icing. And until I put my head in the pillow, there's always something that I could do to improve or better myself, and that's why I'm running so well. I'm close to 39 years old, and hopefully on April 21st, I'll give it my best at the Boston Marathon, and hopefully I'd like to be in New York, but we haven't committed to that yet. But, you know, it's narrowing down to a few marathons left, and then hopefully I'm playing by ear. But 2016 is my goal, see if I can make the Olympic team at 41.
What advice do you give new runners starting out today? Even from a non-competitive standpoint, from folks who just want to be healthy and need to get out there?
You know, my advice for the to new runners is take 5 to 10 minutes before and after to stretch. You know, you might run 6, 7, 8 miles, but don't get in your car and go. You know, stretch the Achilles, stretch the quads, stretch the hamstring and the calves. Those are the essentials that you need to do, and you're going to make you less injury prone, is going to make you a little bit limber the next day versus being stiffness. So, you know, and be patient. You know, you're not going to achieve, if you just started, you're not going to achieve a marathon, but eventually you will get there. But start with a 5K, 10K, and have fun. Do it, and then eventually the ultimate goal should be half marathon or a marathon, and, you know, be patient. It's not going to happen overnight, and if you can stay disciplined, and that's what life teaches us. Patience is a virtue, and you know, and when you race, you always rather be even or faster in the end than going out fast.
Right, and so in the last couple of minutes we have with you, Meb, let's talk about your foundation that you've started, and what your vision is for that.
Well, the foundation is maintaining excellent balance through health, education, and fitness. What I like to do is, you know, just like I told you earlier, my physical education class, how my running gave me hope, got started. But due to budget cuts, a lot of those physical education or extra curriculum have been cut. And my goal is to be able to give back to schools, just like it gave me back, to have those schools provide gear, whether shoes, shirts, and shorts, to the people that don't have it. And then to the people that have the essentials, go there and talk to them about motivation to help to live a healthy lifestyle. And with the foundation is an infinite part of the beginning of it, but we like to potentially give out scholarship to kids to go to college or for those who cannot afford it. And, you know, Ryan has done great things for me and my family, and I hope to give back to be able to, you know, to say thanks and be able to, you know, living a healthy life is a style, it's a habit, is what we need to do, a lifestyle that we need, and why not start at a younger age versus wait until they graduate college or wait until they're 40 to live that. You know, we start at a young age.
Yeah, and we at Running Flat agree with you 100% on that. We have lots of kids' events. And matter of fact, in our Run for Heroes marathon this year, we're actually adding a kids' marathon, which is a lot of excitement going on in the schools about that right now. So, you know what, thank you very much, Meb. You know, you're a champion and you're an absolute inspiration to all runners. And thank you for this. And wishing you all the best in Boston this year.
Thanks, Chris and Kelly. I appreciate the time that you guys have put for me. And I always say run to win doesn't always mean getting first place, but getting the best out of yourself, you know, and doesn't always mean first place. But if you've done the best that you can, that's all you can ask for.
Awesome. Thanks, Meb. All the best.
Thank you.
Meb Keflezighi on Running Flat Radio, and we'll be right back after these messages.
From traditional and lifestyle medicine to fitness and nutrition, Dr. Andrew offers practical answers to today's toughest health questions. On Call Radio, weeknights from 11 till 1 on AM 800.
Amy Schumer.
We're from comedy, not the concept, the TV channel.
Okay.
We were asking you some questions.
Right. Keep going.
Yeah, you were just named Variety's Breakthrough in Comedy for 2014.
Oh my God, is that Dina Lohan? Like a pile of cups.
Well, how does it feel to have your hit TV show back for a new season?
Round of pills on me!
You better slow down, Amy.
You made me.
Inst Amy Schumer, season premiere tonight at 10:30, only on the Comedy Network.
Mr. Instant Teller.
One more time.
Okay. All right, big risk. Here we go.
$520.
Nice. Mr. Instant Teller.
Don't crash. $480.
No, okay, I have to stop.
He's stuffed with $25,000.
And every cent must be given away on air to AM 800 listeners.
Visit WFCU.ca for the daily four-digit PIN number.
And tune into AM 800 for your chance to make a cash withdrawal.
Whatever amount you get, you can keep.
Or you can see if you can push him just a little bit further.
But be warned,
Mr. Instant Teller can be cranky.
Sorry, Yarms. I'm done. System.
If he crashes, he'll keep all his cash, but he will give you a gift certificate from Antonino's Original Pizza.
AM 800's Mr. Instant Teller.
Brought to you by Windsor Family Credit Union.
Windsor Family Credit Union is proud to offer a family of free checking accounts. The personal one free checking account. The community one free checking account. And the business one free checking account. Get details at WFCU.ca.
Now the forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. A few clouds tonight, gusty wind and a low of zero. Mix of sun and cloud tomorrow, a high of 11. 40% chance of showers overnight from Wednesday night to Thursday morning. Windy, a low of zero. Periods of rain for Thursday and Friday. A high of 4 on Thursday, 13 on Friday. Cloudy Saturday, a 40% chance of showers. Windy and a high of 5. Mix of sun and clouds Sunday and a high of 11. Once again tonight, a few clouds, gusty wind, a low of 0. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 11.
And now, here is Barbara Pierce-Marshall with an energy update from Inside Enwin.
As required by the Ontario Energy Board, Enwin is moving its customers to time-of-use billing. By mid-April, all small business and residential bills will be calculated using this system, and customers will begin to receive time-of-use bills in late April and throughout May. To help you make the change, Enwin is offering free seminars at our time-of-use and conservation fairs, April 9th at the Kubota Club, 1:30 to 3:30 and 6:30 to 8:30. See you at the fair.
Headed for the open door.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski, Kelly Steele, and on the phone right now from Canadian Running Magazine, our good friend Michael Doyle is back from the Jerusalem Marathon. Michael? I think we just lost Michael. But he'll be back soon.
Jerusalem Marathon, though, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty exotic, isn't it?
That absolutely is.
Yeah, we'll get Michael back online. But yeah, so Carla reminds me that we should have asked Meb what shoes he wears. He wears the Go Mebs, by Skechers. And I'm not too sure where those are available at right now in Canada, but I know they're available in the United States for sure. Michael?
Yes.
Michael Doyle. How was the Jerusalem Marathon?
It was fantastic. It was a really great experience. I'd never been to Israel before, a really interesting country. And obviously, Jerusalem is a really special place for about half of the world's religion. So, and it was a great event. It was about 25,000 people through all the events. Yeah, it was huge.
What was the course like? Good course?
Really hilly. I would say it was probably the hilliest course. I ran the half.
Wow, that's surprising.
I would say it was the hilliest course I've probably ever done in my life. There wasn't a foot that wasn't, totally beautiful. So it was a lot of fun. I would definitely recommend it to anybody who's looking for a great exotic destination race. Definitely do the Jerusalem Marathon.
Nice.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I missed you at Around the Bay this weekend. We were all up at Around the Bay I know your guys are up there.
Yeah, I'm actually injured right now. I didn't really want to talk about it too much, but I got some leg problems and so I had to take a pass on it, which hurt me quite a bit because, I've been to the race every year for several years now. It's probably top three or four favorite races in Canada to do. It was unfortunate that I had to miss it, but it was great day. It looked like perfect conditions for running in. Here the new course is a little hillier, but a lot of fun. And some really great results from a lot of people out there.
More hills?
More hills, yeah.
Well, they changed, what, the front half of that course now?
Yeah, I think the front 5 or 10K has been changed up, and they wanted to avoid running into, they crossed a railroad track before in the past, and I think there was some construction as well in Hamilton this year as well. So,
That train caused some problems last year. I remember that well.
It's like once every 5 years, people got stuck with the train, so they decided to just rule it out altogether. And so they had to throw in a couple of hills as well, which I think is kind of a cool thing because, you know, if you've got a hilly course and you've got those monster hills in the last 5K of that 30K race, you might as well make it, you know, fully memorable.
Yeah, exactly. So Krista Duchesne won the top lady spot. She's on the show next week. Talking about that, which pretty excited about that. We just had Meb on. It's like my highlight of my radio career. We finally got Meb on the air talking about running and talking about Boston coming up. So.
Meb's such a cool guy. I met him in December in Austin, Texas at the running event, which is like a big running conference in the United States. And it was one of the highlights of my life to meet him as well, because he's such an inspiring guy. He's a guy who I see as like he's a true racer. You know, I mean, he's not the fastest American distance runner. You know, he's not Ryan Hall with the 204 time or whatever.
Right.
But he's a real competitor, and he can win races, and he knows how to be really tactical in a race. And he's just such a nice guy too.
Yeah.
Like, he's such a nice and inspiring guy. And I think he's a guy who's going to continue running and well into his 40s, I hope. And kind of like Haile Gebrselassie in Ethiopia, really inspire people at over 40 to continue running and seeing, you know, what they can do with their bodies well into their 40s and 50s. So I think Meb's such a cool guy.
Yeah, and Gebrselassie is another incredible runner as well. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about spring marathons?
Sorry, say again?
You want to talk about spring marathons? About it being maybe... Is it too late? I mean, first off, has everything thawed yet? I mean, isn't that the biggest one? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here in Toronto, where I am right now, things are starting to look like spring in the last couple of days. But from what I hear out east, where I'm from originally, it's still kind of crazy winter time. And, I mean, out in Vancouver, it seems like they didn't really have too bad a winter at all. So, I don't know. I mean, it's April 1st today. If you're running a marathon, say Ottawa at the end of May, you've got 8 weeks to kind of get your act together. I think you could probably do something if you've been running on the treadmill and running a few times a week outdoors. I think you can probably put something together, get some, you know, get a long run done this Sunday for sure, and start stringing together. You could probably do something, but otherwise, I would probably focus on a half marathon. And like, I'm in a situation right now where I've had some injury problems, mainly because of the trying to be stubborn and run outdoors. And so I'm thinking more like, well, I'm supposed to go and run Boston, which we'll see if that pans out or not. But, you know, I'm thinking more about doing a half marathon maybe at the end of May, and then thinking about the fall after that. You know, it's you always have to kind of think big picture with running. It's not just about what you can do in the next couple of months. It's what you want to do with your, you know, running career, for lack of a better term.
And one of the more difficult things that people need to understand, especially if you're new to running, is, you know, a lot of these runs are sold out. Like, we sold out virtually every run we did last year.
Yeah.
And they sell out, you know, in advance. So, like, Le Chocolat right now, you know, there's like 500 spots left for that race. And you know, and that's a little more than 4 weeks away. So, you know, we're fortunate that we have some spots, but, you know, other spring marathons, well, let's talk about, you know, Ottawa, right? Ottawa's totally sold out now.
Completely, yeah.
And,
yeah, but Ottawa, I think Ottawa's been sold out for a while too. That sells out
really
fast.
About a month, yeah.
A couple weeks for sure. And then, I believe Cleveland is sold out.
Cleveland is really already.
So, you know, there's all kinds of...
That's unusual
the bigger,
for Cleveland
the bigger races. Well, you know, but if you didn't live through this winter, and this is the explanation I heard. If you registered before the winter, the registration was brisk, and those races were selling out or on their way to sell out. It's the fall races that are all having issues right now because the winter's been so bad for training that no one's been training, and so no one's been, you know, saying, hey, that's my goal this year.
And you know, that's interesting. For like, I've been running for years, and this is the first time we're out on runs. It's not just me, it's like everyone's training's just brutal. No one feels like they're peaking. Usually, you know, you're doing a marathon, Boston, whatever, you're past your peaking now, and no one's feeling that, which, you know, it's just kind of weird that for one, we're all kind of in the same boat. Usually everyone's training's everywhere. We're all grumbling about it.
It's running. It's the beauty of running. Absolutely it is.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like I'm trying to have like a sort of see the long game in all of this. I'm already thinking about the fall myself because, you know, like my winter's just basically been a mess. So
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it's the thing about this sport. It's not just a sport. It's a lifestyle. It's an attitude. It's a way to structure your life as well. And if I embrace all those things, I mean, maybe I'm not doing so much running right now, but I'm trying to keep my diet under control and, you know, get my 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night if I can, and get to the gym a few times a week and that sort of thing, and start thinking about the fall. I don't know. I'm trying to think about what I'm going to do for the fall right now. And so I'm actually really motivated for the fall because it's a time I can think about with a certain level of positivity. And, you know, I expect to be running well at that time. So
as I think all of us do. And on that note, Michael, I thank you very much for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you next week about what's going on in Canadian running news.
I look forward to it, Chris.
Thank you very much. And if you want, actually, when's your next issue out?
We've got one coming out in a couple of weeks, middle of April. It should be pretty good. It's our half and full marathon special. It's got 42 tips for running your best race. It's got a lot of great stuff in there. I'm really excited about the issue.
Awesome. So that'll be on newsstands and in your favorite stores. And of course, if you always want information, you can always go to Canadian Running's website at CanadianRunning.ca. Thank you very much, Michael.
Thanks very much, Chris.
And that just wraps up another show here at Running Flat Radio. Next week, like we said, from the founder of Map My Run will be on, Kevin O'Callaghan, and also he just sold his company, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Krista Duchesne, who won Around the Bay, will be on as well, and we'll also be talking about her buy for the Olympics. She's working hard to go to Rio. And Dr. Tarhuni on the 22nd. If you want to find out any more information about runs coming up, you can go to runningflat.com for more information. Or if you have any other show suggestions, you can also catch us on Facebook on the Running Flat Radio Show. Thank you, Kelly.
Chris.
Thank you, Carla. And keep running.
And that's the end of it.
End of episode.
Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800.
Running Flat Radio is a paid program.
Local news is next on AM 800 CKLW, the information station.